Let's go to the Rude guest hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. We find our buddy Ben Standig, who covers the Commanders. Saw him out at practice today. So, Ben, you wrote a piece that people could check out at your Substack about one of the most interesting people in the building. I find Cliff Kingsbury fascinating for a lot of reasons. He was incredible last year. My skepticism was completely wrong. Nobody works harder than him. He was unbelievable. But he also does everything in his power to not be in the spotlight. Like, he has no interest in playing the media game, it seems like, into getting his name out there. And then even this year as a head coaching candidate, he just kind of pulled his name out of the hat and said, I'll just stay here. He's just a curious guy to me, Ben.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a fascinating guy. Thanks for having me on, of course. Yeah, I mean, that's why, like, look, I don't really, like, diving too often to, like, the, you know, who are the people behind the stories. Like, it's not always my bag, but I find him to be just so interesting. You know, he had a, you know, really great college career, kind of fizzled out as a pro, and that's actually one of the reasons that drives him to work as hard as he does as a coach, because he talked about this in the story about the regret that he had, you know, maybe not being as serious as he needed to be as a player, and he doesn't want to have that happen to him again as a coach. But he works hard, but then he has this sort of playboy lifestyle that, like, yeah, he doesn't, like, talk about it, but, like, we all kind of know it's out there. I mean, look, that fame, I mean, even that picture during, you know, of him at the COVID draft where he's in his house that, like, looks like the most unbelievable living room of all time. And everyone's like, what is going on here with this guy? And he goes, look, you know, when he gets fired by the Cardinals, he doesn't just, like, disappear. You know, he goes to Thailand, you know, a one-way ticket. And, like, and he's got, you know, interesting life. But when he's in the building, he's, you know, I don't know if anybody's as John Gruden-y level of insane with, you know, with that type of working all hours. But he clearly puts in more than I think people imagine based on the persona. And Zach Ertz in the story talked about the misconception of him because of that persona. So, yeah, and then on top of it, look, I mean, look what happened last year. You know, as much as we talk about Jaden Daniels being, you know, the guy, and clearly that's the case, you know, other than Terry McLaurin, what else did this offense really have last year? That they didn't have, you know, a ton of weapons, and yet they were one of the highest scoring teams in the league. They had three different games, including a playoff game, with no turnovers and no punts. Again, a lot of it is Daniels, but a lot of it is Kingsbury understanding what he had, putting his ego aside to let, you know, Daniels kind of dictate it some things. And then, you know, to be able to have as much success as they had last year, even with Jaden, says so much about Kingsbury's ability as a coach. And, you know, yeah, it's just one of the many fascinating aspects of him.
Yeah, I think it's cool because we talked about this with Jaden, where he had the experience at Arizona State that then kind of maybe reinforced the necessary hard work that he put in at LSU and led him to be a Heisman Trophy winner, second overall pick, right? Is that kind of what played into Cliff? Like you talked about with the player, obviously, and that motivating him, but maybe all the success in college, but not necessarily getting over the top, and then having what happened in Arizona, getting over here and being able to be successful. How much do you think those experiences prior for him played into the success that we saw last year with Cliff?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's talked about that when he got fired by the Cardinals, that, you know, he disappeared on his own for a while, went halfway around the world. When he came back, he took a relatively low-profile job at USC working on Lincoln Riley's staff there, and it was sort of his way to reset, both to, you know, get a look at a guy like Lincoln Riley, who has had, you know, a lot of success, especially with quarterbacks, but also he took an honest look at his own game. He didn't, you know, what is working here, but what is not working here? If I'm going to do this again, we're not just going to run it back. And I think in life in general, it is hard to always, like, sit down and assess what did I do wrong if I feel like I'm in a bad spot right now or things are not going the way I did. What's my role in this? It's easy just to say my boss sucked, you know, this went wrong, did bad luck. Like, what did he do? And I think that he took that year to really assess that. And then when he came in this year, or last year, with the Commanders, obviously having a Jaden Daniels is all kinds of fun if you're an offensive coordinator, but, you know, still he had to think there and sit and think to himself, what do I need to do here? You know, I always go back to Joe Gibbs and why I would argue he may be the greatest coach ever, because, you know, very early on, he comes in with this Air Coryell view of the world. they start off 0-5. He looks around and says, okay, hold on. I got his offensive line. I got this running back and John Riggins. Let me reshape everything. He didn't just keep saying, as maybe other coaches who've been here have, to say, no, 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 we're doing my thing this way, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen. I admire the coaches who are willing to take that step back and figure out what do I need to do. And I think the Cardinals and other aspects, you know, of his journey to this point led him to think, okay, I got to reassess what it is that I'm trying to accomplish here.
Ben Standing, you can check out his Substack for good journalism like this piece on Cliff Kingsbury. I want to double click on this idea that he watches every single play from every single team. I thought that was amazing. And it makes a lot of sense. Like, that should be standard procedure maybe for every offensive coordinator. But I have never heard of anybody doing that. So the idea then, Ben, is 31 other teams, all 1,000 or 1,200 or whatever it is, snaps from that season. My guess is a lot of the time it's just kind of going through the motions, but then he sees something awesome and he jots it down. And you told me today at practice even that he extrapolates that out to a couple dozen college teams where he watches every one of their plays if they've got someone that's particularly interesting calling the shots.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what he said. I mean, I think he's watching the plays. I don't know if he's like, you know, rewinding it 16 times to look at everything, but he's watching and then he's taking notes along the way. And, you know, look, all these coaches to some degree crib off each other, right? I mean, that's just sort of the nature of football. You know, nobody's reinventing the wheel. You're just sort of changing how the wheel looks to some degree. And yeah, I mean, again, I think this is an example of not thinking you have all the answers. So, you know, I sort of said the same thing about Jaden Daniels this offseason. It would have been easy for Jaden Daniels to be like, look at me. Look what I just did. I am good to go. I don't need to hear from anybody about I know what I'm doing. No. Jaden Daniels goes through what, as he's done throughout his career, been diligent with his work, you know, kept that work ethic going. Cliff Kingsbury, same thing. He easily could have said, hey, I told you guys I'm good. Look what we just did here. I mean, look, you know, again, other than Terry, who were the wide receivers? Deami Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus, no disrespect to them, but that's not Gary Clark and Ricky Sanders with Art Monk. Right. So like he didn't have all these things. I mean, he got a great year out of Zach Ertz. All these things, he easily could have said, I got this. But he's like, no, this is what I need to keep looking. I need to keep exploring. And obviously one of the big storylines for this season is the adjustment to the adjustment. How does Washington adjust to whatever the defenses are now going to do, having seen Jaden in this league for a year with Cliff? What's the judgment? And I know Dan Quinn said, hey, it's not like we ran every play in the playbook last year. But even beyond that, now Cliff has to take the things that probably worked but make it look different. And that's, you know, that's where you look, okay, let me get outside my own head. What are other people doing around the league and a little bit in college to so I can, you know, figure this out. And that's you know, what he went to do.
What do you think the next step is for this offense this year? What do you think they can build on from last year? And what do you think that next evolution is going to be?
Well, I think the offensive line is going to be huge here. I mean, last year, the offensive line was okay. Like, it was a step up from what we had all witnessed in the previous regime, but still wasn't one of the better lines. And obviously they went out and, you know, trade for Laremy Tunsil. They draft Josh Connerly, and Connerly maybe is more of a future play than an immediate one. But I think they're hoping that that line gives them, you know, gives Jaden Daniels more time to look, you know, down the field. And, you know, as you guys know, like it's not even just that he connects on throws deep. It's like the preposterous pinpoint accuracy, like the throw to Terry in the Cincinnati game in the end zone. It's just, unimaginable at times. So if he actually has time in the pocket to assess that, you know, more than he did a year ago, that would be huge. And I also think the backfield, like, look, they had, you know, all things being equal, their backfield was fine last year. Brian Robinson gave you that power. Austin Ekeler, when he was available, gave you some of that shiftiness. But they didn't always have the big play potential. Debo Samuel's not a traditional running back, but he's going to be back there a little bit. You know, he gets some carries, as we've seen with San Francisco. He gives you that home run element. And then, you know, I don't know. We'll see what Corey Kroski Merritt, a.k.a. Bill, ultimately is able to do here. You know, he's been great in camp, had another really strong, impressive run today where he blasts through the line and zooms down the field. But, you know, we'll see how he fits in. But his potential is a guy with that big play ability. So, you know, you put those two things, you put those guys in with Jaden's ability, that read option with those guys could be really fascinating, or just the ways to flip the field. You know, I think that to me is probably the next step. I mean, as good as they were last year, for sure, you know, I think there's more that can be done in terms of a talent, and I think that's what they're hoping they added this year.
Ben, in terms of Cliff Kingsbury staying in an offseason where he had some interest and eventually, you know, basically told New Orleans, I'm good, on their head coaching vacancy. First of all, what do you make of his decision to still be here? Dan Quinn said something in a press conference within the last few days about how shocked he was that the entire staff came back, specifically because of all the guys on offense that were getting interviews. And then secondly, is it fair to say that we should expect this to be Kingsbury's final year here if things go well?
Right. So as much as I like just wrote a story about, you know, why did Cliff Kingsbury stay and come up with these reasons, a couple things. One, he's still getting paid by the Cardinals, so there's that, right?
How much longer is that? That's through like 27 or something crazy?
I didn't read the contract. But yes, I think there's something to that effect, but I feel like the big year is maybe even like this year, and there's some extra money going beyond that. But yeah, I would guess if they have a year, I'm not saying they have to go to the NFC Championship game, but if they have a year where the offense is top 10 and all that, I would probably guess this is his last year here. I think his options last year were not as great as people think, in that the Bears would have been a really interesting one. He obviously worked with Caleb Williams for 1 year at USC, so he would certainly have a good insight into that person if he liked that. But the Bears were obviously very interested in Ben Johnson, and, you know, because of the Washington beat Detroit, Ben Johnson was able to start talking to them earlier than Cliff Kingsbury could if he wanted to be focused on the Eagles the following week. But secondly, like the Saints, I think I could argue the Saints is the worst job in the league right now as a head coach. Their cap space is in hell. They have no quarterback, you know, nobody proven. That's not a job I'm looking to go to if I'm Cliff Kingsbury. You know, if the Bengals have a rough year this year, does Cliff Kingsbury, would that job be interesting if they fire Zach Taylor? You'd have to think so, right, with Joe Burrow. If Dallas, you know, Dak Prescott's obviously a pretty good quarterback, but like if somehow Brian Schottenheimer is a one and done, not saying it is, but if he is, you know, a Texas guy like Cliff Kingsbury, I'm sure will be very interested if Jerry Jones gives him a call. So a job like that has a young quarterback or a proven quarterback, that's where he's going. I don't think he's just taking a job for the sake of taking a job. And that's why, like, as much as we're all like, wow, I can't believe he stayed, it's kind of like, well, ultimately, where is he going? I don't think he's just desperate to take another job. I think if he's going to do this again, he wants the right circumstances. And, you know, based on what he just did last year, he's earning that right to be choosy. And another good year, he probably can pick what he wants.
Talking with Ben Standig here on Grant and Danny, Toby Altizer sitting in for Danny today. Ben, Jacory Kroski-Merritt has been a big talk of camp, as well as Jalen Lane, those two rookies on the offensive side of the ball. Are you buying that these guys are real contributors, or is this a camp darling situation?
Well, I'm buying Jalen Lane for sure. I mean, not only is Terry McLaurin out right now, we'll see where that goes, but you know, Jalen Lane specifically gives them that big play element again. You know, that 4.3 something speed, as fast as Terry is, as physical as Debo is, that's a different level of speed. You put that on the field, and if he's getting, you know, one-on-one coverage, that's where you can get some big plays. He's been catching the ball downfield more than – that was my big question, because, like, when you watch some of the Virginia Tech replays and highlights and stuff, a lot of his work is, like, around the line of scrimmage, like, just get him the ball and let him go, because I don't think they had a very good offense, good quarterback, things like that. Even Kingsbury, I think today said, "Hey, I'm seeing more out of him than you would have just seen." So I think that to me is notable. My only question with Kroski-Merritt is, how does he fit in? I mean, I've been impressed with him from the jump. He's continued to get better. I know the coaches, at least a couple I talked to, said, you know, when he first showed up, he was bigger than they thought. He's obviously that. You know, I keep joking. Forget Bill. His nickname should be OC, as in one cut, because every single time somebody mentions him, that's what they say. That he's got this ability with his one cut ability to make plays. And we keep seeing it over and over again. And look, I don't know how it would work. You probably have to either move on from Brian Robinson flat out or give him a lesser role. But there's a world where Kroski-Merritt to me could be the number one running back, but I can't go there yet because of the preseason or the training camp darling aspect. Let's see him actually in some of these games, and then we'll go from there. But he's been very impressive for sure.
Ben Standig here on Grant and Danny. No Danny today. All right, we got to ask you one on Terry McLaurin. We'll let you out on this. We're not at a point where he's at risk of missing the first game yet. But a week from now, it starts to get kind of up against the clock. 2 weeks from now, now it might be too late for him to ramp it up to get all the way back. When is it time to actually say, all right, this was all well and good, but you owe me a football season. Let's get on the field.
Yeah, I think, look, I was somebody that was like, wake me up when we get to training camp if he hasn't signed. And I've been very awake for the last 10 days or so, or whatever it is at this point. To me, at this stage, look, obviously it doesn't look like he'll be involved in anything that's happening this week. Then you have a pretty decent gap before they play the Bengals on a Monday night. After that, you get the joint. It's a quick turnaround, joint practice with the Ravens, and then the preseason game. If he's not back by that whole Ravens situation, is when I think now you get to really question what is going on here. And then, like you said, at that point, even if he were to show up later, what's he going to be like? I mean, Terry keeps himself in great shape and all that, but there is still a difference between, you know, working out on your own shape and, you know, getting pushed around a bit on the football field. So, yeah, to me, if he's not back by that Ravens game or the Ravens joint practice, I think that's where I really start to get concerned, even if he were to re-sign. Again, he's obviously, you know, the modern athlete doesn't need to get in shape the way, you know, the football players of yesteryear did. But at the same time, you got to get out there and be a football player. So if he's not back by the Ravens week, I think that's where I'm really starting to get concerned.
Ben's Substack is fresh and available. It is hot off the presses. How do people read the Cliff story?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you mentioning it. Go to Last Man Standing, standig.substack.com. And if you hit /subscribe, you can join up. And I've really enjoyed it. The response has been great. People like Mr. Paulson have signed up. So, yeah, please take a look at the Cliff story. Got a Jaden story from the other day that I was happy with as well. So, yeah, take a look.
Ben Standing, boys and girls. Thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, guys.